And so just sitting there, didn't have my Bible or anything. And he spoke to me, and he gave me this scripture. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So I thought about it for a while, and he didn't say anything. And so, boy, that'll preach. I have no idea what I'd say. But the one thing I know, there's nothing in the Bible by accident. There's nothing there that's not important. And so I just said, okay, explain to me the importance. Why did you say that? You obviously weren't just commenting. It's there for a purpose. And he said, what I want you to see is Adam was put in a garden, created and put in a garden. He said it was a beautiful garden. And Adam and Eve had perfect comfort, perfect provision, perfect rest, perfect everything. But he said, now I come and I'm born outside of the garden. That's why I said that. I am Son of Man and I am born outside of the garden. I am born into a sinful world. Because we know from Paul, there is none righteous, no, not one. So he came in the worst condition possible. So he wasn't saying, I can't go back to mom and dad's house. He wasn't saying that. He didn't say, that no one let me stay at their house. He was saying that I'm different than Adam. Okay, I am the Son of Man, born on purpose outside of the garden. So we know Jesus as the Son of God. Okay, we know him as the Son of Man. We know him as the Son of David. As Son of David, he represented mercy. So every time that was mentioned, Son of David, it was have mercy. So we know him as the God of mercy, bringing the mercy of God, the grace of God to people. We know him as Son of God. He represents God to man. But as Son of Man, he represents man to God. And only as Son of Man could he die on the cross for our sins, for Adam's sin. God told Adam, if you sin, you will surely die. Adam did the sinning, Jesus did the dying. And he died as a man. Okay? He wants us to recognize him, and you'll see the importance of it here as we go along. But he wants us to know him, not only as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man. Man representing man to God. Okay? We know in the Old Testament, the Old Testament priest was both. As priests, they represented God to the people, and they represented the people to God. Okay? And so Jesus, then as man, represents man to God, and as man, he's come to correct everything that the sin of Adam brought in. So there's all of this sickness, everything that came in by the sin of Adam. Only the Son of Man can do anything about it. God couldn't do it just by the Holy Spirit. He couldn't do it by an angel. Even the Son of God couldn't do it. Only man could do it. Okay? So, let's you've already seen the Matthew 8:20. We've talked about that. Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Matthew 9, verse 6. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." So as Son of Man, now he has authority, see, and he is starting the corrective work. That is great-great-great-grandfather started by sinning. So he's beginning to make that difference. And when we see what we call supernatural, it's just simply the power of God restoring or correcting back to good, back to original good. I've been to heaven a few times, and I've seen supernatural. But what we're experiencing here is not supernatural. It is natural being restored. Okay, Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And so he comes, he knows what he's here for. But only the Son of Man can accomplish this. See? Only the descendant of Adam, who did the sinning, can come and get us out of the sin. So that's his work as the Son of Man, to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 22:69. "Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." So we know that not only was he Son of Man on the earth, not only was he the Son of Man who died on the cross, but he was also the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father, because Stephen saw him. Mm-hmm. Saw him as the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So we have a man in heaven representing us, and his name is Jesus. He's been tested in all points such as we are, yet without sin. He knows everything we're going through. He can feel everything. And he's our high priest. He's the Son of Man in heaven. Luke 24:7, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Now when he's dying on the cross, and he cries out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And I've read all the theologians, things I'm sure you studied in school, no one seems to know what it's all about. Well, the way he explained it to me was that as man, when God told Adam, "You sin, you will surely die." The word death means separation. Mm-hmm. At some point, man and God were separated. They were separated by sin. When Jesus was dying for our sins, mm-hmm, as man, he felt that separation from God. Not as God being separated from God, because God cannot be separated from God, and God cannot die. Mm-hmm. So it cannot be God, it cannot be the Son of God, but as Son of Man, he experienced that Adam death for that moment of time when he was crucified. And because all of this shows up in so many places. And I still can't get my head around all of it, but I'm enjoying it anyway. For instance, when he was tempted in the wilderness, remember God spoke to him and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," when he was being baptized. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so he was confirmed Son of God. Mm-hmm. But also the Father was pleased as Son of Man. Yeah. Well done, good and faithful servant, kind of thing. See? But he goes into the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. Now the devil starts in on him. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He was asking the wrong question. And Jesus came right back. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding out of the mouth of God. See, he didn't need to be tested as God. He needed to be tested as man. Jesus said, Adam failed. I have to pass the test. Adam, the man, failed. Jesus, the man, is going to make it. Man shall not live by bread alone. We're not eating that fruit again. Okay, John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Of course, we know the result of the brazen serpent and the people being healed. And of course, it's not just physical healing, it's included, but it's total. Yeah. Everything that came into the world by original sin is being dealt with by the Son of Man being lifted up. And all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus. Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And so now, in humility, he comes then as man servant. John 6:27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the Father, God the Father, has set his seal on him. So he sealed him as Son of Man. Remember, we're also sealed by the Holy Spirit. What this teaching should do for all of us is realize who we are on this earth and the power and the authority that we have. Mm-hmm. People say, well, if Jesus was just here, well, if God was just here. Now, what God provided for us through Jesus, the Son of Man, was that man could have power and authority on this earth. Giftings to be able to serve and to help. And of course, what God was showing me, like with the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the floods and all of this, is all these people are coming. Thousands of people are coming to Joplin. And they're coming together. There aren't any Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Catholics there. It's the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And they're serving. They're serving one another, and they're serving those people. And the news media can't miss it. Mm-hmm. And what God's showing me is as we continue to do this, His glory is going to cover the earth. The glory of God is going to cover the whole earth. As disaster after disaster, whatever Satan intends for evil, God's going to use it for good. And people are going to come together. They're going to help one another. And we sent 100 people from our church over there. And yeah, they did some good. They said, you know, you can't hardly tell you did anything. But what happened, those 100 people came back totally changed. Serving changes us.
That's true.
Laying aside our agenda. The people from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, haven't even got their stuff done yet. Bringing busloads of people to Joplin to help.
Wow. That's God.
People from New Orleans that don't even have their stuff done yet, bringing whole restaurants up to serve food.
Wow. Jesus.
Churches saying, full of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what we have to do is be ready to act wherever we're needed and join with everyone else, and the glory of God is going to be made manifest. And the sinners won't be able to miss it. The glory of God's going to be such that they can't. Jesus said, if I had not done among them the things that no other man had done, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. They won't be able to get away from God consciousness, which will bring sin consciousness, which will cause them then to persecute us and come against us. But remember, when they're screaming at you and persecuting you, God is saying, love them. Love your enemies, pray for your enemies, because many of them are going to be your brothers and sisters preaching the gospel. Some of them that scream the loudest, has been my experience, some of them that scream the loudest against me are the ones that end up serving with me. And so we can't forget the love of God. You can't look on wickedness and why are they like that? Why are they, you know, don't take it personal. They're not mad at you, they're mad at God. And don't take it personal. And just love them, serve them, do whatever you need to do, and let God do His work. Because the harvest has started. Hallelujah. Okay. John 12:23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. John 6:62. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He was before? So He's going back now as the Son of Man. Came down as the Son of God, going back, representing us in heaven as the Son of Man. We have a man in heaven representing us, interceding for us. As high priest, that's his job. Acts 7:56. You remember this? Stephen was stoned, and that said he looked. He said, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." So we know where he is. We know where this man is. He's standing at the right hand of God. He's not just a glob of smoke up there. He's not just a spirit. He is a man. He has a different body, but he's a man. With all of man's experiences. Knows what we're going through. And he knows how to get through it. The one thing that keeps me going is the fact that Jesus has already been through everything I'm going through and made it. There's a man that made it. There's nothing I'll ever face that he didn't face and became victorious over. He's the overcomer. Okay? Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. He coming back as a man. Okay? He's going to come back blazing as the Son of Man. He's this perfected man, this all-powerful man. And he's going to come back, he's going to rule and reign on the earth as man. Now don't lose fact of it that he's the Son of God.
No.
We're not, no, we don't ever want to lose the fact that the church has emphasized he's the Son of God. They haven't emphasized the fact that he's Son of Man. But if he isn't Son of Man, then we're not free from our sin. Only a man could die for my sins. And when he comes back, he's coming back as a man to rule and reign on the earth. Verse 28, assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And of course, the beginning demonstration of that, because he said, I'm going away, but I'm going to come back to you. And on the day of Pentecost, he actually came back. And he's living. We're the body of Christ. We are the power. We are the authority. And it's his Spirit filling us that gives us that power and that authority. And so, in a sense, he's reigning on the earth right now. If we'll open our mouths, if we'll stretch out our hands, move our feet, then the Son of Man can be active this day. See, we don't have to wait for him to come back. Right here, right now, the Son of Man is active because it's his Spirit inside of us. Luke 12:40. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So there again, he's coming back as the Son of Man. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Of course, that's repeated there in Luke 17:24. For as the lightning that flashes from one part of heaven shines to the other part of heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. Wow. See? No one's going to miss it. No one's going to miss when this man comes back. Luke 17:26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:30, even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed or uncovered. The word revealed, that means every eye shall see, every eye shall behold the glory of this man. 21:27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So as man, he's born in a manger, dies on the cross, comes back into the church, and God's a gift to rule and reign on earth. All of it as Son of Man. He's Son of God. He's Son of Man. He's Son of David.